Carolyn gives out the paper and the pen. I hope you do have a pen. I always tell my cadets when I'm teaching them out there at MacDill Air Force Base, every meeting you come to, ladies and gentlemen, bring a pen and a paper. I'm always telling them so. Hopefully you have pens, because I did not bring enough pens for everybody. So, but she has them there for you. Good morning. What a wonderful testimony this morning. I love how God pulls it together without us realizing it. I mean, you know, you can plan whatever. Everyone had to get up and get dressed and, you know, get to church this morning. So, I mean, there's a portion of a plan there. But it's just so marvelous, because some of the testimonies this morning, and I really apologize to our listeners online. The testimonies were really great this morning. We're going to try and work on making sure we get them in there. But about letting go, about letting God flow through us. And when He does, it's so powerful. I mean, even if you've been seeking God, I mean, I came to know the Lord when I was 30. I wasn't a child. I knew the rules of God because I grew up in a church that was really big on the rules. And a lot of, and we were sharing about this earlier in Sunday school, I grew up fearing God under the law. And now God says the fear of God is the beginning of all understanding, but it didn't really help me, because I kept the law, but I didn't do it very well, because I would justify things to myself, as we all can do. So I grew up under the law, but it was a good beginning. But then when I came to know the Lord at age 30, boy, I tell you, what a difference. When it switched from law to love, then I didn't want to come against what God said. It wasn't a matter of obeying a law anymore. If God said to do it, I personally wanted to do it to please Him. If God said not to do something, then I personally wanted to make sure I did, because I loved Him. So it's a matter of loving God so much that you deep within don't want to offend Him. Now that's me, my personal spirit. But I don't, as a person, nor do you, with the broken Adam nature we're born with, I don't have the capacity within my broken spirit to keep the things of God. But with God's spirit in me, I do. So every day we have a choice to live this life loving God and obeying Him in what He has said, and letting the flow of His Spirit be the thing that does the obedience, because I can't. Because God makes it clear in the Scriptures, when He tells us, if you walk by the Spirit, you cannot sin. So it has to be me choosing God. He said, you can't serve two masters. I got the Adam nature in there, and I got the God nature in there. In every single moment of every single day, every breath I take, I have a choice to have the Adam nature response to anything or the God nature response. And if it's the God nature, He says you won't sin. That means marriages will change. That means every relationship will change. That means every single thing in a business will change. There'll be honesty. There'll be integrity. There'll be sexual purity. There'll be sobriety. Not because those things are laws, but there's a love of God that flowers, and His Spirit will never, ever lead us to lie. His Spirit will never lead us to be greedy. His Spirit will never lead us into jealousy or envy or anger. None of it. So when we're in those things, don't just crumble. Realize that it's your Adam nature ruling you, and the wages of sin is death. So to come out from that, you have to repent. I'm sorry, God, let me switch tracks here and get on the God nature ruling. It's so, so powerful. So this morning, our title this morning is Let It Go, Honey.
There you go.
It really is talking about resting in God. God did it all in Jesus so we wouldn't have to struggle. Now, we learn that, we read that, we write it down, we have scriptures galore, we say that to each other, we share it with each other, we teach it to our kids and do whatever, but my gosh, do we still struggle? Whoa, what's the conflict here? How can I get around that? Only His nature in us can do it, as I previously said. This struggle is real because we live in a world that is full of the world, the flesh, and the devil. But there's our God. So who are you going to listen to? That's all the question is. Boy, I tell you, only his nature in us is going to be able to identify and know him. God says, discern the spirits. You have to know who's talking to you. It can't just be any vain imagination that you hop on and assume. It has to be something that extols the virtue of God, something that lines up with the principles of God for us to act on it. Like I said, we can never train the Adam nature. What do we have to do to the Adam nature? We have to kill it. We have to crucify it. We have to reject it. Any thought that comes up that isn't encouraging and uplifting and pure and holy and right and binding to the body of Christ, it's not of God. Now, you may not know, I may not know, whether it's the world idea or the flesh idea or the devil idea, and at some points, I don't really care. All I need to know, all any of us need to know is that thought, word, or deed of God or not?
Yeah.
And if it isn't, then just don't do it. Mm-hmm. Don't struggle. Some people cast out demons all over. The previous pastor here, this church for many, many years, he's gone on. He's with the Lord. He's been dancing with the Lord now a long time. And he used to always tell us, you can't cast out your personality. You can't cast out you out of you. So everything that's wrong isn't always a demon. You can be sure they're there clapping. You can be sure they're there influencing it. Uh-huh. But sometimes it's just you. Sometimes it's putting away and rejecting the lies of the world. Rejecting the lies of your own self. How many of us have been brought up with lies? We all have misunderstandings about who God is, or if there even is a God. Some people have grown up and all they ever heard was, there's no God, that's nothing but a myth, that's the foolishness. Religion is the opiate of the people. Golly, well, that's an Adam nature, broken mind, broken thinker, trying to figure God out. But some people, that's all they've ever heard. We've been influenced by many things other than God. We can't deny that. We have to humble ourselves before God, and we have to just be willing to have him identify in our lives the things that are lies and deceptions, because it's the truth that sets you free. Powerful. So our pursuit then is what? Truth. And what does God say? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Wow. Kind of simple, isn't it? Adam's broken nature thinker, which is in Christians also, has come up with all sorts of ideas and rules and regulations and are really messing it up and complicating. It's very simple. It's you and God. And let him rule and not you. Now, Leo Tolstoy was a writer back in the 1800s, and he wrote War and Peace, and if anyone was in a literature class and had to read that, the thing is about, what, 1,600 or 1,800 pages or whatever it is. It's a huge, big volume to read. But he wrote volumes of books and things. He was a well-known writer in the 1800s. But he's an example of someone who could never rest in God. And after he became a Christian, one of the things that was noted really about this Tolstoy fellow was that he really wrote a lot about how wonderful God is, how powerful, how awesome. I mean, he really understood that. But he misunderstood so much else. And after he became a Christian, he became a very radical in legalism. I mean, the law, the law, the law. He actually ruined his life in terms of the law. He was almost a masochist in terms of punishing himself for his sins and his own personal inability to counteract those sins. Now, what was he doing? He was using the Adam nature. He had a revelation from God's Spirit in terms of coming to know the Lord, in terms of entering salvation, but then he used his Adam nature to serve the wonderful and spiritual God. So his Adam nature kept failing at what God was saying to do, and he kept getting frustrated with himself. He was going deeper and deeper into despair, and as far as I can tell, lunacy from what he did. But anyways, his inability to meet that perfection, it literally tortured that man. Now, torture, that word is not going to be in the same sentence with God. So because he was tortured, Where were his ideas and sense and understanding coming from? It wasn't God. Because God has grace. He knows that we were born handicapped because of what Adam did. And he pours forth his grace, knowing that we are going to be haltingly walking through this land trying to do what he said. But if you look to me, he said, I will give you grace and I will give you mercy. And if you let my spirit reign, you're going to be able to do the directions that I have set for mankind. Now, this Tolstoy, Leo Tolstoy, he wrote about the unwavering standards of God because he wasn't playing a game. I mean, God doesn't say, well, you can do this, but someone else can't. God doesn't say adultery is okay for this one because they're pressed in a bad situation, or drugs are okay for this one because they got a little problem in their heart. No. There is an unwavering standard of God, and yet, so this fellow Tolstoy caught on to that point. But in beating himself up, this is the route he took. He just kept making, what do we do? He just kept making more and more rules for himself. So the more he failed, the more rules he came up with. Definitely must have been a left brainer, you know? We'll get to that in a minute. He gave up hunting, which necessarily God wouldn't want. He gave up smoking and drinking. Probably that was a good thing. He gave up meat, not something God required. So he gave up all these things thinking that's going to help me. It's going to purify me. He made rules about controlling his emotions and his base feelings. And he wrote about these things. And he told people about these things. And a lot of people ended up living very ascetic lives. A lot of people were influenced by Tolstoy's teaching. And they were influenced that and some of the people that ended up in, you know, communism and stuff, they looked at Tolstoy and they said, yeah, never be rich. Take away from the rich. Are we hearing this lightly in our culture? Take away from the rich. Bad to be rich. Everybody, 65 people live in the same house. Totally misunderstanding what God has said. This guy Tolstoy even went so far as to publicly vow to remain sexually chaste even though he was married. But he couldn't keep that vow very long either, as the world saw his wife endure 16 pregnancies, 11 of which made it through the birth process. So he got even angrier. Here he stood up before the world and they knew him because of his writings. He started to become a famous author and all this stuff, and he lived in a big house and all this kind of stuff. And then he says, I'm giving up sex. And his wife has 16 pregnancies. You know, so wait a minute now. He totally misunderstood sex as a gift. We're not going to go into that right now, but he was going in the wrong direction. And I see that. Some people are beating their backs. You see some of these religions, they beat their backs. The Muslims take swords and they hit their foreheads and they cut and they make blood come and they cut themselves. In the Philippines, they crucify someone like their Jesus, and they eat brown rice and take cold showers and this ascetic life, they call it. You got nothing. You're not the bare basic. God never said that. What did God say? I came to give you life and that more abundantly. He wasn't talking about stuff. He's talking about life. He wants us to understand him and to sit in the midst of his blessings. He never said you had to eat brown rice and take cold showers in order to please me, in order to make your flesh go back down. Now, with his wife having all that many pregnancies, that was like a, you know, picture. Now, he could have lied and said, it's my servant. You know what I mean? But he knew, and he was angry with himself, and it made him even angrier. And so this fellow Tolstoy, I'm not coming against Tolstoy, I'm just using it as an example. His interpretation of what God required of him was way off. And maybe yours is too. I want us to kind of look at that. When God said to let go and let him rule, it didn't mean you had to give up all your possessions, your home, your paycheck. Now, I did that one time. I've told this story here many times before. I read in the scripture, I brand new Christian, just read in the scripture, and said, you know, They told the rich young man, give up all you have to the poor, you know, and all this stuff. So I called one of my sisters and said, hey, you know, come on down, take what you want from my house. Well, they loved it because I was in the military. I had traveled all over the world. And I had oil paintings from Japan and all sorts of stuff, leather work from Spain and all sorts of Noritake China, you know, from Japan. And, oh, I had a house full of this stuff. Because that's what I thought God was saying. You know, I didn't stop and check it out with God. My Adam nature went, oh, boom, you know me, I saw a rule, we're going to go by it. I called my sister. She not only came down, she sent two brothers with a U-Haul truck with a list of what she wanted. Wanted my nice table from Germany and this thing from, you know, we'd gotten some things from Tehran and Saudi Arabia. Oh, my gosh, all over the place. Filled that truck up, and I was so happy I had just obeyed God. A couple of weeks went by, and I go, Lord, where am I in my house here? Oh, wow. And I just remember ever so sweetly, the Lord just said to me, I never told you to give it all away. What a wonderful lesson, though. I felt a little stupid. But boy, did it teach me. Check it out with God. As you're reading, why don't you have God start explaining some of this stuff? And that's a huge point. So when he says to let go and let him rule, he's not talking about doing what Tolstoy did. And this Tolstoy, eventually, guess what he even did? He came from a fairly rich, well-to-do family. He lived in a big, big house. He had servants. He had fields. He had a lot of acreage and stuff like that. He ended up letting all, and they were called serfs at the time. He let all the serfs go. He let all the servants go. He was giving away everything to the point that he was leaving his family and all those 11 kids or so to fend for themselves. Can you see how this is not God? Because God himself said the man who does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. He said if you don't work, you don't eat. Maybe we should be telling that up there to Congress, but anyways, that's another discussion at another time. But my gosh, you see the misunderstanding. It sounds good. Oh yeah, just give it all away. But God said, wait a minute, I balance this. Because you see, God is a balanced God. He has told some people to live a life of an ascetic life. But this poor Tolstoy was using the earthly nature to accomplish some of the heavenly things. That will never work, ever, ever, ever. You just have to let it go. So he was misunderstanding what God said to let go. Unless God leads you to that kind of austerity, like John the Baptist, remember that? What did it say he wore animal skins and he ate locusts and wild honey? Ugh. Now, I mean, to us, locusts and wild, but that was what they ate back then. You know, they had, there's other countries that, you know, like they grill up some beetles and grub worms and locusts and stuff. I mean, it's not a foreign thing. That's what he would have eaten for his protein. They say there's a lot of protein in the insect world. We just don't happen to eat it. But in the survival training that we've had in the military, they told you which ones to look for and which ones to eat. So, I ain't eating that. Well, then you'll starve. Well, you know, whatever. But anyways, unless God calls you to that aesthetic life, then you're free to live your life wherever you're placed, whether it's in the middle of Zambezi or right here in Tampa Bay. Live your life where you are. We're not living in the year 500. We're living in, it's 2012. I have electricity, and I'm glad of it. I'm not going to give it up. Now, God tells me to give it up, I will, but I don't foresee any of that. I mean, he's dealing with me where I live. But if I live someplace else that didn't have it, he'd be dealing with me there. And guess what? I could have joy in both places, not for the electricity, but because of the Lord. He will fill you where you are. So don't fear want. Don't fear lack. Because if you're looking to stuff to make you happy, you're going to be on a long, rugged pursuit. And guess what? You are not going to be happy. Just like this Tolstoy guy. He did not have rest in God. He did not have freedom in God. He did leave his family. Now, in the looking over some things on Tolstoy, his wife was smart, though. She saw him going off the deep end, so she went through the whatever process, and she made some financial arrangements so that he couldn't just dump everything. She had to step in and make some provision, which was wise for her to do, because he truly, Leo Tolstoy was going off the deep end. He ended up leaving them. He ended up saying, he says, oh, what God wants us all, not just him. He wasn't saying this is a call to me. He was teaching other people this austerity. He actually thought himself to be an aesthetic where he just didn't have a home. He would travel from place to place. He was an old man when he came to that conclusion. Left his family. He sat in rags in a train station someplace, waiting for the train to take him God knows where. See, he turned right brain. No, just a little joke here. I'm going to get to that in a minute. He said, I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he was in the train station getting ready to go on this foolish journey, and he got very sick. So the train master took him home. He died at home very shortly of pneumonia. He didn't even dress himself against the winters in Russia. I mean, what foolishness. If God tells you to only wear a robe and sandals and go out someplace, he's going to take care of you in that weather. But you can't do this on your own. He died a broken, miserable old man who had just totally wrecked his family and anything. If you seek God, he was a man, this Tolstoy was a man with many riches. Maybe God would have had showed him what to do with those riches. Maybe he could have, he did open a school and there are other things that he did do, but maybe God could have continued. But he got this funky idea, and I'm highly suspicious where that funky idea came from, right out of the pit of hell, to make sure this man, even though he knew the Lord, God might have owned his soul, but the devil owned his life. Don't let that happen to you. And the only way to do that, the only way to fight that and that foolishness, is to stay with the Lord. This freedom that Jesus sets us free for, it's not this free-for-all. It's not what you think. It has to be centered on God's truth. So this rest, it's a gift of rest that God has for us. We don't think of that. But he wants us to enter into it. He wants us to be bathed in his rest. Don't continue as the controller. That's a perfect message to me, but also is to many others here and those listening. Don't continue as the controller, even of your spiritual life. Wonderful example that Shirley gave earlier. She was going to pray, and here she was watching her little grandbaby, who just wasn't going to sit down and watch her little things or play with her little toys. She kept crawling up in her lap. What a wonderful blessing. There's a lot of people who don't have that where they're little grandkids. They're either not around them, or they just have miserable lives where their kids aren't even going to come near them or something. But how wonderful in that respect. But how distracting that was. But the learning and the lesson that Shirley shared in terms of that was, wait a minute, I don't need to set up the rules. I don't need to set up what my list is for the day. It doesn't mean you don't plan things. It just means you're not in control of them. Yeah, we never were anyways. We just thought we were. But just don't be the controller even of your spiritual life. The word flow, right? Stop and think of it. In the English language, we have certain things, like if I say chair, most of us are going to picture a chair. But if I say flow, there's like no picture. See, these are concepts you have to learn. What a wonderful brain to be able to learn concepts. This is more conceptual. So when we say flow, it gives us a visual of something smooth, unhindered, whether it's the flow of cookie batter or the flow of a little river or the flow of a pitcher of water or the overflow of the coffee, like the coffee machine this morning. A flow. It's something smooth and unhindered. And that flow from the coffee machine was unhindered. We kept putting things underneath it to catch the flow. The flow is unhindered. But that's what a flow means. We think of something that keeps going and is unhindered. That's what God wants, not rules and regulations. And not the opposite of rules and regulations. Anything goes. Right and wrong are what I think. No. Those are two opposite ends of the spectrum that God is not talking about. But it's the only thing we have in the Adam nature. It's either this or that. This is what God wants. He wants him in you and you in him. That's flow. That's letting it go, honey. It's God's flow coming from him through you back to him. It's unhindered. Now, sin will hinder the flow, all the little jerky things we do, but we're in a learning process. Do not be angered with yourself like Tolstoy was. They didn't have all this understanding and couldn't do it. Let the flow begin and work with God, work with Him, and the next scripture is going to show it. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. It's so good. I know I've read this 100 times. It's underlined in my Bible. It's all this stuff. All of us do this, and we color it and code it. And yet, does it? Yeah, Ted holds up his Bible. The whole thing is covered. It's good to do that, but is it in your heart? Is it highlighted in your heart, like Ted said? He said he's highlighting his Bible in this wonderful fever of God that he has. But he said the best thing is that it's highlighting in his heart. Mm-hmm. So, do you, when you open the scriptures, do the verses jump off the page at you? Then that's a connection. God wants you to understand that. When something jumps off the page, he's got a line through you. He wants you to absorb this and give you understanding. 1 Corinthians 3, the 9th verse. I love what this said. Boy, this just really said it for me. Well, how long does it take you to learn, Linda? It's been 1976. You came into God's family, and now it's 2012, and you're just understanding this. Yeah, I'm not afraid to admit it. I understood what I understood up to this point, and now God's enlightened it. We're going to go from grade to grade to grade. I don't care how long you've been in school. In 1 Corinthians 3, 9, it says, for we are God's fellow workers. What that screamed out to me is, you don't have to do this alone. I am your fellow worker. Right there, God said it. It wasn't something I assumed. It wasn't something someone taught me. Right there. We are God's fellow workers. That means he's a co-worker. He's right there. Why am I keep doing it alone? God is the fellow worker. And then look, this is what he clarifies. This is something Tolstoy missed, and many others, including myself and yourselves. In 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, look down there at verse 11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid in Christ Jesus. All your debasing your body and cold showers and making rules and all this stuff to make yourself obey God. No one can come up with a foundation better than Jesus. Just set yourself on him. Build your home on a solid foundation, not on shifting sand, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil, and your crazy ideas and opinions. Whoa! That sounds like an awful lot. God really makes it simple. My prayer is always that it would go into each and every one of our hearts to have this part of who we are. Not something we have to pull out like a verse we remembered, but something, this becomes our mind, our will, and our emotions. This fellow Tolstoy, he kept fighting the wrong thing, and it reminded me, if I took a toothpick, our professional wrestler, former professional wrestler back there, Ted, if I took a toothpick with me to fight Ted, what's going to happen? Well, first of all, he'd probably pull out one of his 75 weapons and blow me off the planet if I was trying to attack him. No, I mean, trying to have your Adam nature do the things of God is like taking a toothpick to a gunfight. It's never going to give you success. You are never, ever going to be able to do it. So it's so powerful. God's our fellow worker, and there's no other foundation except that which he has laid in Christ Jesus. And scoot on down to verse 16. Boy, I tell you, this is the stuff that makes you warm and fuzzy and know that God is holding us and he has us in his hands and he knows what he's doing. It says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Whoa. We have to let it go. Don't be so uptight like me, although I'm changing. Let God speak to you. This course that we're taking on Wednesday evenings, the Lord showed Dr. Shirley, for those of you listening in, that's Pastor Mark's wife. She came across this. I don't know how God brought it across her. I haven't even talked to her about that. I'm just enjoying the Wednesday night teachings. But this fellow has a video series, and his name is Mark Verkler. He's an author and a speaker, and he teaches on hearing the voice of God. And part of the teaching is that he talks about left-brained and right-brained people. And it really struck my heart because it does identify you when you look at the kind of like you know, who you are. Now, our dear, precious computer guru, Carolyn, is both left-brained and right-brained. She's one of the few that kind of has a little equality here in the thing. But most people on the planet lean one way or the other. And not because you chose it, it's just how you are. And I know God knows what he's doing. He had to have some left-brainers out there getting a little bit of order. But he has to have some right-brainers out there because it'd be too stifling. But it couldn't be all right-brainers, it couldn't be all left-brainers because it would wreck it. So God is a God of balance. He knows exactly what he's doing. But we're not going to worry about right brain, left brain in heaven because we're going to be complete in him. He's the totality of both. Wow. Now, like I said, I really identify with this Mark Verkler as he teaches on this. The left brainers like me are the logical ones. Lists, rules, order, everything in its place. We know the rules and we keep them. You know, so we think, or, you know, as best we can. And if there aren't any rules, we'll gladly make them up for you. Now, the right brain people are more artistic, not so uptight. Kind of ebb and flow with life, letting it happen as it comes, drives us left brainers absolutely nuts. And an example of the old left brainer here, and that's me, and I'm just giving you a little, I'm just kind of giving you some details here so we can scoot into something that that what God is saying here. I was over at Lowe's the other day, and I walked all the way down from the end of Lowe's that I was looking at some things and making some comparative shopping. I wasn't purchasing it, I was just looking around. I went all the way down to where I, to the door that I parked closest to. And when I got there, boom! Right there in a big, huge, it's probably about, you know, 18 inches high, big, huge red banner with white lettering says, no exit. Well, the old left brainer, we got rules. We got to go by them. I'm an adult woman, and I stopped where it said no exit because it said no exit. And I turned around to walk all the way up the end of the store to go out where it said exit. And when I did, there happened to be a Lowe's worker there. And I went, whoa, no exit. Sorry about that. And I turned around. And it was so funny because as I turned around, she just stood there and smiled. Probably a right brainer. She stood there and smiled. And she just said, it's okay. You can go out this door. I said, oh, thank you. So here I am, the old left brainer. I went out the door because someone of authority gave me permission to break the rule so I could go out the door. I'm going, I was thinking on that later, and I go, oh my God, I did that. I mean, it wasn't, I didn't write a list and make a note on it. It just, that's why me and the military, we got along really great. I didn't think about what I was gonna wear. They determined my outfit, and that's why I don't have any fashion sense today. I grew up with uniforms. And it's so perfect. You know exactly who you are. You wear your rank on your shoulders. You wear everything you've ever done on your ribbons, on your chest. I mean, there's no confusion in this world at all. You don't even have to think. You got regulations on what you're supposed to do. If you don't like it, that's the regulation. You know, I mean, someone like me, the old left brainer, fit so perfectly in there. And God knew I would dry up like a, shrivel up like a prune if I stayed there. So something I loved, God had to remove me from. Not because it was bad. But it was bad for me in order for what God called me to do. Because I never knew he was going to call me to do what I'm doing now. I had totally different plan for my life. What's the old saying? If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. But anyways, this is a God that we love. And now, you might have laughed about that, but how about you other left-brainers out there? Come on, admit it. If you did something that wasn't on your little list, you wrote it on the list, you cross it off. I've thought that so many times. Oh, God, help me. Now, God is not angry with me. I always say, if anyone should have an indent in their forehead, it should be God. Every time he smacks his forehead with his palm, goes, oy, these people. But no, he doesn't do that. His love and his mercy is on us all. Whether we're left brain or right brain, he loves us all. And not one is better than the other. Now, I tend to like yard work, too, because I can see the completion of a task. You know, it's order, neatness. I feel good. It's really good. Plus, I get to cross it off my list. Yard work, done. Which I've done. And some days I don't, like I said, I don't put yard work on my list. But if I did it, because I just felt to do it, Then I put it on my list so I can cross it off. I go, oh, God, help me. I can't stay in this stuff. I'm very task-oriented, if anyone knows me. Recording and documenting are like fresh air to me. So when this guy Verkler started teaching about hearing from God and letting your imagination sit at Jesus' feet and just let the creativity of God flow through you, I actually could feel the hair stand up on the back of my neck. What? I need outline. I need a list. I need to research and record. I need to sweat and kneel and pray, and then I can hear from God. What do you mean? This guy says, just let flow happen. Nothing just happens. You make it happen. Only right brain people, those artsy fartsies, float around all day with their heads in the clouds, letting life happen to them. The revelation that letting go of me, Little Miss Rapso title break when any change occurs, I think Dr. Shirley knows that, is exactly what I needed to do. All this pressure and tension, time frames, I had my list, and then there was all the things that God asked me to do. I can't tell you how many times I said, God, I can't do that. I got my list. What do you mean you want me to visit someone in the hospital? Just like that thing would come across my head, I'd push it out because I got my list. But I'm a good servant of God, so I do that plus my list and drop half dead with exhaustion into bed at night. I'm serving you, God. Well, I would do that for over and over. I would do this until some physical calamity would come upon me. I exhausted myself. I even ended up at the VA one time, totally sick, totally dehydrated, totally out of sorts, on a gurney with an IV going. I was vomiting so badly that they had to give me a drug called Phenergan, kind of stop some of the vomiting. Well, I didn't know they gave it to me because they started an IV and they just put it in the IV. I thought I was dying. Because you start fading and drifting. And I'm going, oh, this is it, Lord. You're taking me home. Then the nurse comes over and says, oh, you seem to be doing much better. The vomiting has stopped. I gave you the Phenergan a little while ago. And I went, oh, I guess I don't get to go home. I guess I'm still here. Work myself into a tizzy. I, in all likelihood, I know I have driven everyone here nuts. I apologize. I ask your forgiveness.
Some of us, it's a very short drive. Okay.
That's true. Very short drive. But anyways, letting go of me is exactly what I needed to do. It was not only heart-stopping, but freeing in a way I never had before. It doesn't mean I haven't been serving God. It just means this is broader, this is bigger, this is freer. This is what God wants us to enter into. Now, the right-brainers, you people out there that are right-brainers, you are not off the hook. You may be a bit more open to flow, as Mr. Verkler puts it, but you have to learn to rein in that flow and make sure it doesn't get all mixed up with your version of vision, so to speak. So you always, always, all of us have to be seeking the Lord. Let go and let God should not just be a bumper sticker slogan, and we've seen that. My dad was haunted by many things and struggled, but he gave his heart to the Lord. Toward the end of his tour here, wonderful man, but he was struggled, and everyone knew of his struggles, and one of his struggles was with alcohol and the alcoholic personality, and he couldn't let it go. He couldn't let the argument go. He couldn't let the situation go. He just couldn't let it go. But right smack on the front of that man's car was a humongous sign that always said, let go and let God. So, you know, he struggled. He was like Tolstoy, I think, a lot. He put a lot of rules on himself. Passed those rules on down to us kids. I guess I turned out like I am because I'm the daughter of a former Marine and a police officer, but God did a lot with that. He chose who I was going to be born to, just like he did yours, so don't get upset about the circumstances, even if he didn't work it out and get along. In your not working it out, very often God puts something in you that wouldn't have been there if you'd born someone else, and it won't. If you don't get what he wants in you, you can't do what he's called you to do. So even if you got crappy parents, go to the Lord. There's something in you that wouldn't have been in you before. God wants to use you. He doesn't care where you are. Every one of us is equal in God, not the one standing up here preaching. No one is above the other. The only one above us all is God. It's all about him, not about you.
That's right.
Boy, I tell you, so powerful. Now, in looking at this let go and let God as a way of life and not just some slogan that you learned, if we don't do that and let it go, honey, if we don't do that, you're going to become crushed and burdened just like I have been. Now, I go in and out of this, and it's been less each time. I got to say, it wasn't just like totally burdened, totally free. This has been a process where I've been able to release more and more. Because God ain't going to kill you. You only think he does. He's going to kill you and get this junk out of you. Who you are as a person has been influenced by other things than God. And he's trying to get you to have him the only influence in your life, no matter what you had previously. So without living by the flow of God's Spirit in every aspect of life, there will be no freedom. No delight in your life. Nerves are going to be frayed all day, and you can't even see God's blessings in front of you. Never mind receive them. And you know that this flow is starting to be more and more because I walked outside yesterday to mail a letter. It was beautiful. Sky was blue, nice and sunny, a little bit of breeze out there. Little Addie's pool. She was in having a nap, but little Addie's pool was still out in the front lawn with her toys still in it. And at that moment, I was so filled with such a sense of gratitude to God for all my blessings. In the past, guess what the logical order left brain mind would say? Oh, I must clean up the pool. I must put away the toys. I must make sure I blow the sidewalk. I must make all this on the way to go out and mail my letter. None of that was there. And I'm going, wow. What a great day. I'm so blessed. And what struck me the most is that I was given the blessing of living on a dead-end street. It's quiet out there. It's a tree-lined street. It's lawns and shady and a great part of it. There's no rushing traffic 5 feet away from my front door, for crying out loud. It was just such a wonderful sense. And guess what it did? It didn't. Not 1 minute of that experience in God's presence did I feel to make a list. I didn't feel to do anything. I was brought to worshiping God. Whoa. That's what being in God's presence will do for you. That's what letting the flow. Of course I'm going to get my yard done. Of course I'm going to do my laundry. Of course I'm going to do cooking, shopping, banking, all the crazy things. Oh, I have so much to do. Well, yeah, they did too before electricity. They had the, you know, hand-sized the lawn, you know. They had to go down and get a bucket full of water and drag it back to the house. Yeah, everyone had a full day. I mean, all these time savers that we have, these time-saving convenient appliances, and give me any more time because there's much more things to do. So it's all going to be the same, whatever you're doing. But I wasn't stuck in that. The flow of God was through me. It takes practice, as we're learning all the more. It takes a lot of practice, but in every little thing, you're going to sense him and not you. Boy, talk about freedom. And you see, you're not going to know what's going to happen until it happens. I walked out there right past the stuff on the lawn. There wasn't one thing within me. He said, oh, let me help a carrion. Oh, I'm just trying to save the world. Jeez, I'm always jumping in. Let me help you. Let me make your burden less. Jesus walked right by people who were suffering, and he didn't stop until God told him. What, am I better than Jesus? Are you better than Jesus? You got a better schedule? Flow of God's Spirit is going to bring you into the it was a glorious lesson. I just had to share that with you. It brought me, not to me. Those experiences brought me to God to worship him. I almost cried. I almost knelt down on the sidewalk and said, God, I love you so much. I am so blessed. That's where he wants me, not with my lists. Now, the sense of freedom that I had in that second, it's growing. It's growing. It's growing. All in one moment, I knew that I didn't need to work anymore. Now, I don't mean not to work anymore. I mean there's no responsibility on me to do God's work. The only responsibility that I have is to constantly be in touch with God. To do that, I have to be ever aware of the sin that's always crouching at my door and your door. I have to resist the devil and he will flee. I have to take every thought captive and put it under the anointing, etc., etc., etc. Just do what God said to do, and you're going to have the freedom and the power and the security that he talks about. Now, I'm not doing all this perfectly, obviously, and I still have my list and my calendar, but it's so much different now. It really, really is. I can actually say that I see and I feel the difference for myself. Now, usually you don't see that. Someone else says, wow, you've really changed. Now, I take that with a grain of salt and I go, whoa, man, I was that bad before I really changed. Or do you like it when someone comes up to you and goes, wow, you look really good. Well, what, up to now I didn't. What the heck, you know? But I'm just saying, usually people are going to see the change even before you see it yourself. But I was grateful that I actually felt that. I saw the difference. I actually experienced the burden I have been carrying for 6 years. Lift it off. I go, okay, I tasted that. I ain't going back there. I want to stay right here with you, Lord. I can freely work with him. I put myself under bondage to work for him all these years. And then you read a scripture that says, fellow workers. I go, duh. What the heck have I been trying to do? Juggle all this kind of stuff. I don't need to. Now, in all likelihood, if you call me and tell me that your kid just died, in all likelihood, I'll probably go there to your house or your hospital. But there just may come a time and say, you know, be there when I can. And you know something? That doesn't hurt my heart because they call, Mary called Jesus, oh, Lazarus, he's so sick. He needs you. He goes, okay, be there when I can. Guess when he got there? After the dude died. So, you know, wow. If Jesus didn't take on that responsibility to fill everyone's needs, why am I doing it? And ask yourself, why might you be doing it? So, bondage, bondage, bondage. I can count on that fellow worker of Jesus Christ. And I don't mean to demean that by saying he's my, like the old thing, God's my co-pilot, the old bumper, God's my co-pilot, and it says maybe you ought to change seats. You know, not your co-pilot. He is the pilot, but when he says fellow worker, he's talking about, just like when Jesus said, you know, I don't consider it, difficult to have the power of God outside of his grasp. You can grasp this. He has given it to us. If you're trying to take it, it ain't going to work. But he's, I'm giving it to you. I'm calling you my fellow worker. I want you to work with me, but I have to be the boss. That's all God said. Just let him be the boss. And he's a great, great boss. And this fellow worker, he's the perfect one. He's perfect in all things. He is going to lead me and guide me in what he wants me to do. Plus, the added bonus is that he will still love me even when I royally mess up. And I might get stuck back in my list again or something, but I have prayed and I trust him to kind of like, you know, like when you're growing up, maybe your mom or your dad kind of like smacked in the back of the head and said, hey, spurred up. You know, called child abuse today, called discipline by God back then. But, you know, they weren't hating you. They weren't killing you. They were just giving you a little, you weren't paying attention. They gave you a little tap on the back of the head. Hey, smarten up there. All of this is for each and every one of us. God did not call you to do what I do. And he didn't call me to do what you do. Each one of us has to find our freedom in him and him alone. Not in prayer, not in church attendance, not helping the poor, giving to the poor, fasting, all those things. Anything we might think is holy. So it's only in God and God alone, not those things. Now, those things are good, but not of themselves. All things have to be initiated by the Spirit of God. And in that way, we can truly be successful in all the things of God. It doesn't happen overnight. We've said this many times. It's a journey. And God is, he's tweaking us all along. Just like we talked about the door, the old door that finally got replaced on the classroom out there. That old door, it didn't close right. It let in bugs underneath because it wasn't sealed right. All this stuff. And God gave us a word picture with that. God says, I make all things new. And what a word picture he gave us. He didn't repair the old termite-infested, previously termite-infested, now just full of dust. Every time you close the door, a little pile of that little rotted wood would fall down on the ground. We're sweeping that up for years. But finally, after that process, it was a new door when it was put in, but it wasn't a door like this one. And it got rotted, and it got worn, and it just, that's your Adam nature. It ain't the God nature. And he says, I'm not going to repair that and duct tape it. I'm not going to termite kill it. I'm going to give you something new. That's what you're going to have. That new nature is the God nature, and you got to give over to that. and I read something. It was either in Oswald or in. I recommend that you read My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. A wonderful devotional book. There's another one, too. Grace Notes by Philip Yancey. Wonderful men led of God with some of the great deep things. Grace Notes by Philip Yancey. It's another one of those devotionals. Each day there's a little comment and stuff that he makes. But I think it was Oswald who said, "One life wholly devoted to God is of more value than 100 lives simply awakened by His Spirit." And I see that's what God's doing here. He doesn't want us just, you know, thousands of people coming through, awakened by their Spirit, go out there and die in the wilderness. God wants us truly, wholly devoted to Him. God brings us to His standard by His grace, not by our works. Don't be a dictator to yourself or others. Let the sweet Spirit of God flow through you in all you say and do. In closing, I want us to know it's not as hard as we think, or as we have made it, like the examples I gave you. God is saying to us today, just let it go, honey. Just let it go. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to end with this as far as our audio. But what I'm going to do is those papers that you have in front of you, in your pens, I want you to write down some of the hardest things you've had to let go. Some of the hardest things you're having with God to let go and give over to Him. Write it down. We are then going to go outside, and I brought a metal tub, and we are going to burn those things up. We're going to do a visual that's going to be an anchor. We did this, I think, one other time. But we have a lot of new people here, and they haven't done that. But I want you to have an anchor, and I want you to have a visual. This is what happens when you truly give it to God. It turns to dust. It doesn't exist anymore. And God's going to start new and fresh, give you something new and fresh. So just take a moment. And with that, we'll end, and we'll come back in for prayer time later. God bless you.